This is All Things Considered on New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Peter Biello. It's October, and it's supposed to be foliage season, but the splendor of the foliage in northern New England ain't what it used to be. Climate change, local pollution, invasive species, disease, and development have all conspired to change the multicolored landscape to make it less so. Joining me now for a peep at the changing sugar maple trees is David Brooks. He's a reporter for the Concord Monitor and writer at graniteGeek.org. Welcome, David.
Good to be here.
You spoke to one scientist who was concerned about the health of the sugar maple tree. What's wrong with New Hampshire sugar maples?
Yeah, I talked to Barry Rock, who's actually now retired from UNH, Earth, Oceans, and Space Institute. And I called him because I actually talked to him 5 years about 5 years ago about this same topic because of a long-term research he'd been doing on forests. And the basic problem with the sugar maples, there's lots of problems with the sugar maples, but the big one is that it's getting warmer, and the seasons are changing in ways that are not good for leaf peeping, so to speak. So the whole autumnal leaf thing starts because daylight hours change, and as the daylight changes, it triggers the trees to start doing things, and one of the things they start doing is wall off the leaves. And what you want to have happen is then the leaves change color before they fall off. And the changing color is largely dependent on the weather. So the walling off the leaf is triggered by the daylight, which isn't changing, but the color is triggered by the weather, which is changing. And so it does seem like this is resulting in less splendor, shall we say. I mean, you know, this is just about my favorite time of year, as it is with many people who live in New Hampshire. And the thought that it would perhaps be less splendid is kind of sad, but does seem to be happening.
And so we had a warmer than average September, ergo it's going to be not as great foliage-wise this year.
Yeah, I mean it's not quite that linear. The relationship is complicated, as in all things biological, but basically yes. The warmer wetter weather, or at least more bouts of very wet weather, which seem to be happening more as climate change happens. Those also contribute to fungal diseases, which is in my personal story. I got a couple maples. Sugar maples in my property that 4 or 5 years ago were gorgeous, and now they look like oak trees in the fall because fungus hit them.
The fungus issue is not just limited to your backyard. I mean, it's statewide.
Yeah, statewide. It comes and goes. It doesn't actually seem to be as bad this year, probably because it was so dry. I was sort of hoping it would go away in my yard as well, but it doesn't seem to.
So from what I'm hearing, it's possible that a lot of the leaves will fall off the trees before they even have a chance to turn red or orange.
Let's say they are going to be more likely to as time goes on. I mean, it's not like in 1 year they're all going to fall off when they're green or anything like that. But it's just the odds of the conditions being ripe for glorious reds, particularly the reds and purples, which require the buildup of sugar. And that's really what makes New England's color leaves so splendid, particularly that problem. Is less and less likely to happen. So one of the reasons I called Barry Rock, part of his research has long been for remote monitoring of forest health. And he had been doing actually spectral analysis of satellite photos of the forests over time to see if you could have, you know, quantify how the colors were actually changing instead of just saying, golly, it doesn't seem that great this year, to have some numbers. And he had been doing several years of that. Unfortunately, the funding ran out, as it tends to do these days for science research. So he doesn't have really good data over long enough to say, but it certainly seemed that way to him. And talking to him, he saw no evidence that the difficulties that our forests were facing and their reflection on leaf color, he saw no evidence that that was improving.
And according to the research, this leaf problem is symptomatic of a larger problem, that of rapidly changing global land and ocean temperatures. How's that coming into play?
The same way it's coming into play with all of climate change is that the environment we have around us evolved to fit certain climate and weather patterns. And if we like it the way it is, if those climate and weather patterns change quickly, the ecosystems and the species that are involved in a certain way will have to change or die or move or something to react. And that is when people lament climate change, that's really what they mean. It's the things that are around us that we've built our lives around, we built our economies around, we built our expectations around are going to be greatly affected in a relatively short period of time. I mean, we're talking just decades now. I mean, climate change is happening much faster than anybody really thought it would. The effects are startling from, you know, ice melt and ocean temperatures and the tundra warming and all sorts of alarming things. So all these environments around us that we've come to expect are going to be increasingly stressed and change. And leaf peeping, I think, is a very visible example of what is going to happen. So my suggestion is, if you're driving down the road and you see a really great maple, there's one on the way to work, it's just awesome. It's red and gorgeous. Stop and gaze at it for a really long time, because there's a chance that 10, 20 years from now, you won't be seeing very many of those.
A different approach to leaf peeping, that's for sure. Leaf staring, maybe.
Leaf staring, yeah. Try not to sink into despair, to enjoy nature's glories where they exist, even if they exist a little less often.
Well, David, thank you very much.
You bet.
That's David Brooks. He's a reporter for the Concord Monitor and the writer who spends his weekends in October geek peeping at graniteGeek.org.